Thank you, Brother Tinker. Powerful words in that song there. God is able to save from the fire, even if he doesn't, though. Even if he doesn't. He is our hope. All right, well, this morning, as promised, we are going to be taking a look at the role of the husband. All right? Don't hurt me, guys. Don't hurt me. All right? So if you would, please, we're going to be hopping around through quite a few verses. If you want, we can head over to 1 Timothy chapter 5 is where our first verse will be at. But before we get into that, a little bit about it. I spoke briefly last week about the reason for our focus on the marriage and the family, how what affects the family affects our communities and our society, right? If we hope to change the world that we live in any at all, any respect at all, then we must change what's happening first in the four walls of our home. During the last few decades, our culture has been increasingly redefining the purpose and the responsibilities of men and women in society, including within our homes. We now come to a time when the role of leadership in the home is confused. It's contested, or it's cut from the picture altogether. You see, what has happened? Well, men have stopped being men. Those who are accountable, those who are in authority, are not exercising that authority. They're not leading. At least, that's what I'm convicted is the issue here. We have become stagnant in the role of husband and father, because we fear persecution from the world, being disliked by our wives or children, because it's not easy to be the boss, is it? It's not easy to be the one who says no. It's not easy to be the one who holds the standard. Often it's the most difficult thing to do. Often we simply don't know how to lead because we ourselves lacked good leadership. You see that in today's society. Fathers and husbands altogether turning their backs on their responsibilities and walking away, which then leaves the next generation. How will they lead then? You see, we've allowed the wife, the children, or society to bear the mantle of authority in our homes. Today, I hope, will be the first step in reclaiming our homes, our families, and our society. How? Well, we start first with education, an education in truth, which comes from the Word of God, the everlasting Father, our good and perfect example. Please join me as we pray for the message. Father God, we come before you this morning to thank you, Lord, first and foremost, to give you praise, Father, for the many blessings that you've given to each and every one of us here. Father, we thank you for the great gift of salvation, Lord, that you gave to us through your Son, Christ. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the wisdom that you've given us in the leaders of our church and our families, Lord, and the authority that you've placed us in, and then the roles that you've put in place here, Lord. We ask that you give us the strength to follow those things, Lord, to follow your statutes, to follow your commandments. Father, we ask for blessing on every man here today, on their families, on their wives, on their children, Lord, and those who couldn't be here today, Lord, that you'd be with them, that you would guide them, that you'd give wisdom, Father, that you would help every man to be the man that you call him to be, myself included. Father, help us to be good husbands, good fathers, good neighbors, Lord. Be with us as we go forth to set the example, Lord, to hold the standard high for your glory. Father, I pray for the message this morning, Lord. Please help me to speak clearly, Lord, to speak fluently, Lord, that your word would be heard, not my own. Father, I ask that ears would be open, that hearts would be ready to receive this word, Lord, that it would have impact in our lives, in our homes, Lord, and that you'd be well pleased with us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So let us begin. First of all, what is the role of the husband? That is our question. What is the role? Clear, the simplest answer I can give is a one-word answer. That is leadership. Leadership is the role of the husband. A lot goes into leadership. The responsibilities of the husband and the father often coincide. They go hand in hand. And they are shaped by the purpose of the husband. The purpose is to, as I said last week, the three P's that I used to describe this are to provide, to protect, and to preach. Any responsibility, any role which falls under these three principles of provision, protection, and preaching, men, that's our job. We are accountable for those things. No matter what shape they may take, no matter what form, if it has anything to do with provision, protection, or preaching, that's us. You see, there's a term which sums up our role, and this is a term which, if you take a look at it, this example was first set by Christ. And then as people started to catch on to this, you now see a lot of businesses use this in their training seminars for their officials, for their executives. This is also the same term, the same principle that we use in the military when we train our officers and our leaders. And that term has two words, equal emphasis on each of the words. Servant leadership. You see, the servant is just as important as the leadership, and the leadership just as important as the servant. They go hand in hand. It's how we lead. It is how we lead. So there, go with me if you would to 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, if you're not already there. Here we speak about provision, right? Our responsibility of provision. It says there in the scriptures, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Here we have the biblical mandate to provide for our own house and all of those that reside within it and under our care. Provision here speaks of, I want to outline what provision is, okay? Because this is something that I often see confused, and I often confused as a younger man. When I speak of provision, when the Word of God here is speaking to us about our provision in this regard, caring for your own, it's talking about, first and foremost, necessities. Those necessities, of course, being shelter, food, clothing, anything that's necessary. Anything that's necessary, you're required for. You are not required to give to every single whim of the heart. That is not your responsibility. Is it good to bless and to give and to show love through these ways? Yes, that's fine. But your mandate, your authority, your responsibility and accountability is to provide the necessities as you're able to do. Anything after that is above and beyond and is good, yes. But you're not going to be accountable for how many toys you bought. You're not going to be accountable for did you buy them this or get this for them? Did you take care of them? Did you provide for what was given to you? Were you a good steward? That's what we speak of with provision. Now, provision, there's a coin flip, so to speak, right? That's one side of the coin. There's a second side of the coin here, and the second side that I'm about to speak to you about as far as provision goes, it ties in with the other two P's, right? The protection and preaching, right? Kind of ties in really with the preaching. But this other part of provision, first and foremost, is to provide for them love, to provide that protection, to provide that teaching of Scripture. The provision is more than just means. It is more than just wealthy goods, earthly things. It's more than just the roof over their heads. All right? These are the very basics. There's a far greater provision that we are required to and accountable for, the investing into their lives, being there for them. It's far more. Your wife, husbands, your wife needs you to do more than just go to work and give her a home to live in, clothes on her back, and food on her plate. She needs you. She needs you to provide for her. That's the call. That provision, though, like I said, it's also love. To be there in her times of need, to support her as she supports you. To guide and to instruct, to lift her up in times of hardship, to assist her with the roles that she has to fulfill as she assists you with the roles that you're to fulfill. Now, the second thing is protection. Protection is basically just keeping them safe. Safe from what? Yes, the physical things of this world, but from so much more. We'll talk about that here right now. The verse I like to use for this is Nehemiah in chapter 4, verse 14. It says, speaking of Nehemiah, they're building the wall. It says, "And I looked and rose up and said to the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses." Now, this instruction to protect, of all the things that were named there, what wasn't named? Who are you not fighting to protect? It says, brethren and sons, and daughters, wives, and your houses. Did you catch what was missing from that? Yourself. Yeah, some of you guys caught it. I seen it. Yourself. You are to give a sacrificial love. You are to protect your family. You are to put yourself out there. And I don't just mean physically. I'm talking about the weightier matters of provision. Protecting them from the world, from the influence of the world in your home, from the influence of the world on your children, on your wives. And notice that it's clear here that he's speaking to the husbands, because husband isn't named in there because he's speaking to the husbands. He's saying, guys, this is your responsibility. Fight for these people. As I said, yes, we are to protect them from physical things, right? We want to keep them safe from harm. But the greater harm is we need to protect them from what the world is saying, what the world is doing. I think it was 2 or 3 weeks ago, we had our lesson on Lot, and how Lot placed his family set their tent near Sodom. They pitched the tent near Sodom, right? And because of that, we see the fallout from in the days to come and what happened with Lot's family. I mean, you're to protect them not only physically, but spiritually. That is your call. We set the standard, men. As the authority, as the leader, we are accountable. And you'll hear me say this over and over throughout this morning's message, because it is so pivotal. We must decide what comes into our homes and out of our homes. We decide what kind of entertainment we have. We decide that we will have time in the Word of God. We will pray together, and we'll get into this deeply when we get into the preaching aspect of it. That's your family's spiritual walk and the way we lead them spiritually. That's on us. Now, it's on them to follow, but you're accountable for how you lead. So protection. Protection is keeping them safe, again, not just physically. Not just physically. It's not enough to say, well, if she ever gets hurt, I'll be there. She needs your protection every single day, and so does your children. And that's not easy. Here's why that's not easy. During our men's breakfast, I brought up an example of something. Look, Jasmine's here. I get to make her blush. All right, so Jasmine brought home a report card type thing, right? And just said, "Hey, Dad, look how good I did in school. I'm on the honor roll. I'm getting it done." And I was like, "Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. You know, proud dad, proud dad." And then she goes, "Hey, look, they're rewarding me. There's a school dance." Excuse me? "There's a school dance, Dad. There's going to be music and dancing, and we're going to have pizza." And I mean, it sounded like a good time. And I could tell, if I was a little kid, I'd be like, "Yeah, this is going to be great." Right? And then I thought to myself, hold on, dancing, music, you're 11, kid, who are you going to dance with? What are you dancing for? What kind of music's going to be played at this? Would I approve of this? And I had to be the bad guy. I had to go, "Sweetheart, I don't know what kind of music they're going to play. I don't know what their dancing's going to be. I don't know what the chaperones are. You're not going." I had to be the bad guy. That's my job. Men, that's our job. They can be angry at us. They cannot like us for the day. She kind of gave me a pouty face for an hour or two. You know, kind of, "You're mean." I'm okay with that. You'll thank me when you're older. Why? It's not easy to be the guy who's got to make the tough calls. It's not easy to be the bad guy. But that's our role. That's our call. I just want to share that example with you. Little things like that will make you feel like I'm even being attacked from the people within my own house trying to do the right thing. Even they're not happy with me. So it's easy to say, you know what? Yeah, I don't want to be the bad guy. Go ahead, sweetheart. Go have fun. Well, if you're convicted that it's not right, you need to stand by that. This leads us to preaching, the third P, right? Basically, setting the example and instruction in righteousness. Setting the example and instruction in righteousness. One of my favorite books of the Bible, my verse comes out of here, Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. So what he's happening here is he's speaking to the people, and basically they'd gone astray from God, right? Some were serving other gods, many in fact. And so here he's imploring to them. He's making his point, and he says, goes on to say, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, talking about, you know, the wickedness, or the gods of the Amorites, or those, or in whose land you will dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You see, Joshua made a stance. He said, it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter if you don't like what I'm doing. It doesn't matter what the world rails against me. He acknowledged his authority and his accountability for his family. He didn't ask, he didn't say, well, I'll serve and hopefully they will. He didn't say, I'll serve and do a good example and, you know, I let them make their own choice. They'll kind of have to do their own thing. No, he said, me and my house will serve the Lord. Now, once they're out of his house, once they're gone, that's not on him. But as long as they're with him, he's leading in righteousness. As long as he's got the accountability, we're serving the Lord. That's the stance he made, and he made it in front of all people. Men, you and I have the same accountability on our shoulders. If our family is going to serve the Lord, it's got to start with us. It's got to start with us. We cannot say, hey, you know what? I think that God is a good thing, and I believe in Jesus and all that. You guys go on to church. I'm not going to make it. I got other things to do. And then week after week after week, oh, yeah, I believe in Jesus, and I'm glad you got a good relationship with him, but you never come. You never have Bible time. We never have prayer time. We never show our example. Our families will pick up so much more from what we do than from what we say. This is where we get that term, practice what you preach, right? It's not enough just to preach it. We've got to practice it. That's what Joshua's doing. He's saying, no, I know I'm accountable. We will serve the Lord. So the question is, if these are our three primary responsibilities, the provision, the protection, and the preaching, men, and I'm speaking to the men. This message is focused on us, right? How do we do that? How do we fulfill our role and keep that standard high so that we never, ever drop it? Are there going to be times when we fail? Yes, there are. If you look through the Word of God, there are very few examples of men, godly men, who didn't falter, who didn't trip, who didn't make mistakes. We're going to make them too. When we make those mistakes, though, we need to do what the biblical example shows us to do. We acknowledge our mistake and we correct it. We pray. We ask forgiveness. Lord, help me with this. Give me strength. Lead me. Guide me. Give me wisdom. That's our response. We must set the standard and hold it. And I'll share also another thing that I shared with the men a little earlier when I was at the prayer breakfast. In the military, we have this kind of a standard that we set, right? And I know this standard works because it worked on me. When I joined the military, I was a skinny, ungodly little kid, I looked the part. My daddy was a preacher, and I went to church, but it was pretty much just skin deep. I knew the scripture, but I wasn't following it. And I got in there, and I had long hair, and woo! They whipped me into shape, buddy. They straightened me out real quick. And then the Lord got a hold of me. And in the military, they got this thing called a standard, which is where I get that term from, right? A standard. And here's what I've learned through all my years of being with the military. The standard that you set and hold, those under your authority, they will rise to it. It's a fact. I've seen it 12 years now. I've been in the military. In the past 10, I've been military leadership. I'm telling you, if you set the standard, you show the standard and hold them to it, those in your charge will rise to it. And you know what we do in the military when they rise to it? We say, hey, you made the standard. Let's set it higher. Oh, they hate that, but guess what? They always rise to meet it. If we let the standard fall, they'll fall. So how do we fulfill our roles? How do we keep that standard high? Two things are pivotal to this. This is directly focused on the husband, so we're going to talk about the husband and his wife here, but it also applies to children. I want you to go with me to 1 Corinthians. I want you to go to verse 11. We're going to look at, chapter 11, verse 12. And I hope, now that we mentioned Corinthians, that reminds me, I won't point any fingers. I hope y'all did your homework this week. Supposed to be reading with our spouses and praying with our spouses. I hope that everyone did it at least once, all right? I hope at least once we got to get into the love chapter. All right, so what do we do? First of all, we need to lead our wife, right? We need to lead our wife. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3 says, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." So we see a similarity here, right? Woman, man, Christ, God. God the Son, God the Father, right? Now, Christ, being very much God, is the same in value as God the Father, and the woman being the same in value as the man. Yet, in love, they willfully submit themselves under the authority of the other. Now, there's something important here. I want you guys to see this, all right? We see the authority of the man with the woman, and we see the authority of God the Father over God the Son. Again, equal in value, right? Men have been given authority for a reason. And here's where I encourage you, men. Use it. Use that authority. Lead your wife. Lead your wife. All right? Be a leader. Arise and go, as we see in the book of Joshua. Don't talk about leadership. Display leadership in your families. Now, and here's the thing, too. Ephesians 5:24 says this. "Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." So in other words, it's saying, well, let the wives then submit themselves to their husbands in everything. Of course, we know this is unless he's leading them into sin. But what does that mean? Here's where I take that back, and I want to point this verse and look at the men from the side, the men's side of this verse. If the women are subject to you in everything, then what are you accountable to them in? Everything. You are to be the leader in everything. It's not, and I'm not saying that you shouldn't set your home up like this or any of that. I just want to make a point here, okay? It's not to say, well, she takes care of this and this and this, and she's the leader, and if that falls or that fails, then that's on her, that's her responsibility, she takes care of that. And I do this, and that's how we run things. And if that's how you split your home up, that's fine, run things that way. Me and Ashley have different things that she takes care of and different things that I take care of, right? She kind of got the role on that. Here's where it comes into play, though. I'm still accountable for the things in my home, even the things that my wife is in charge of, okay? My accountability doesn't go away just because she usually takes care of those things. I'm still accountable, all right? Look, imagine Adam and Eve, right? Well, you know, I do all the working and this stuff, and then usually I just come home at lunch, and Eve has dinner for me. She's got something there to eat. Could you imagine him trying to pull that over with God? Hey, she takes care of the meals. I came home and she said, hey, look at this cool fruit I found. Yeah, you think God would have been like, oh, well, in that case. No, Adam was accountable. We're accountable for everything in our home, and we must lead our wives in everything. That's our accountability. Now, they can take care of things, they can run things, they can do all kinds of stuff. But we just need to remember that even though they might be in charge of something, we're still accountable. It doesn't take away our accountability for that thing. okay? Second thing, so first, lead your wife. Second thing, love your wife. This is pivotal. This is pivotal. Sacrificial love. And this is why we go back to where I was talking about in Nehemiah, where you don't see him say, defend yourself, right? It's not about you. It's not about you, man. We have to stop being selfish with our lives and our time and understand that when we make a commitment, when we stand and we take those vows and we say, you know, I'm yours, I do, you have now said, I will henceforth live my life for you. That's what we're doing. With our children, it's not about us anymore. It's about them. Let's love. Ephesians 25 through 29 says, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Here's the encouragement for us. Here's our direction. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Love your wife. Love your wife. I put a note here. I said, love is the primary attribute which the husband is to be constantly displaying, and it is what he is to provide. It is the driving force which compels the man to provide, to preach, and protect. Love is that which convinces him to say, yes, I must get up, I must go back to work tomorrow. Yes, I will restrict what is in my home. Yes, I will restrict what my family is involved in and what they're not. What entertainment is appropriate? What clothing is appropriate? How and who we worship? All of this is a result of love. And because of that love, a desire for their good. That is why we lead, because we love them. Because we love them and we love Christ and we're accountable. Too often we see in our society husbands and fathers which know what they ought to do but neglect to do it. Men, we lead. We must lead out of love. 1 John 3:18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. This goes back to that old saying that we hear all the time. Actions speak louder than words. It's not enough to say that we love. We must show it. Colossians 3:19. Husbands, love your wives. Be not bitter against them. Now, this is a hard one. This is a hard one, right? Be not bitter against them. Being bitter against our wives can take many forms. Often, it's a result of our own selfishness for our time, right? That's what it is. Or it comes out of pride, or out of their denial of authority, or just out of strife that happens. We can't allow ourselves, though, to become bitter with our wives, or with any of the people that we love, for that matter. John Gill, who's a well-known theologian pastor from years gone by, he explains it in this way. He said, so bitterness is turning love into hatred, ruling with rigor or in a tyrannical manner, behaving towards them in a morose, churlish, and ill-natured way, giving them either bitter words or blows, or denying them their affection, their care, their provision, protection, and assistance, but using them as servants, or worse, all of which is barbarous, brutish, and unchristian, utterly unbecoming of the gospel. That's what bitterness does. Bitterness causes us to forget the blessing that we have. Bitterness causes us to stop focusing on them and focus on us. We have to stay away and be mindful against bitterness. 1 Peter 3:7, and then I want to give a quick illustration before we close out the message this morning. 1 Peter 3:7 says this, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together in the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. It's important that we have a prayer time with our spouse, with our wife. Men, we need to lead in this respect. It's important that we have time in the Word with our wives, that we lead in that respect. Why is this so important? Why did I ask the homework assignment of get together with your wife, read the love chapter in Corinthians, and pray together afterwards? Read slow and think about what love is. Here's why. There's an illustration that's really easy to see. And I believe this is true. I really do. Being close to God will keep you close to your spouse. Imagine a triangle, all right? At the top of the triangle, you have God. This corner of the triangle is the husband, and this corner of the triangle is the wife. Now, what happens with the triangle? The farther we get from God, what happens to the husband and the wife? They're farther as well, right? The closer we are to God, the closer we are to each other. Because the Word of God is, this is the instruction book, so to speak, on our marriage, on our relationship. When we take our vows, we take them before God. Our marriage is, it is symbolic of the Trinity as well. We see the relationship of God and man in the relationship of our marriage. It's important that we as a married couple, as a husband and wife, are close to God. That will help to keep us close together. So do not neglect those things. Do not neglect the reading of the scripture and the prayer time together. So husbands, in a moment we're going to have an invitation for the congregation to sing. And before we do, though, I wanted to nail home what we're talking about today. Authority, accountability, leadership. These are the things that the husband needs to keep in mind. That leadership is servant leadership. Our three principles: provision, protection, and preaching. Anything in those realms, that's on us. We're accountable for it. So in a moment, they're going to have the music will come up and we'll sing. If you don't yet have that relationship with God that we just talked about, if you're not saved, then I pray that you'll come down during this time. You'll show how you can be saved from the Word of God. I'll give you God's Word, not mine. And men, I'm going to be praying for you too. Maybe you have salvation. Maybe you have that relationship with God. Maybe you just want prayer. I encourage you, you can either come down here and I'll pray with you, or you can pray right there at your seats. But I encourage you to take this time to pray for blessing on your family, on yourself, that God would leave and give wisdom. And I'll be praying for that for each and every one of you as well. If we could at this time, please join us as we give the invitation.